Welcome to Banter, the panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from W.H. Auden to W.H. Smith's are Richard Herring.
Hello.
Russell Howard.
Hello.
Lee Mack.
I love.
And Julia Morris.
Hello.
Okay, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories, one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for naming any of my personal favourites, at which you'll hear this. And if anyone needs the toilet, tough, you should have gone before we set off. Okay, let's grab the bull by the horns and ride straight into our first top three. Our first category, then, is your top three military leaders. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for the category in question sits out the chat. In this case, sadly, that's Julia Morris. So if you'd sit this one out, please. Richard Herring, your top three military leaders, please.
I like Wellington, because I feel a bit sorry for him. Nelson got the big column and all the kind of pizzazz. Wellington, they just gave him a lot of little things. They gave him a boot. They gave him a kind of pastry beef pie thing. And then indirectly, he got a womble, but that's not... That's. It doesn't seem fair that Nelson gets the column. Nelson also didn't have good diction at the end, because no one's quite sure what his last words were. Either kismet Hardy or kiss me Hardy, which, you know, there's a lot of leeway between those two things.
It's not very clear. What is kismet? I never saw what kismet is.
Kismet is fate. Isn't it? Yeah. It's fate, Hardy, or give me a snog.
I think he probably said, kiss me, Hardy. And he went, you what? And he panicked and went, kismet, Hardy.
Which is great. I'm under pressure, about to die. Yeah. That is pretty...
Lee, are you a fan of military leaders?
My number one favourite is obviously Churchill, because, well, to start with, he defeated Hitler. What people don't realise, if Hitler had have won, then the car insurance advert would have been a lot different, wouldn't it? And it's very hard to sell insurance when the opening line is, Hitler, can you sell me cheaper car insurance? It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't roll off the tongue, so...
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, yeah, Schmidt! Ring the Schmidt!
Russell Howard.
Aslan. Several reasons. True King of Narnia. Secondly, defeated the White Witch. And he brought Christmas back. And also, I've got a DVD of the Chronicles of Narnia, and he's doing a little dance at the end.
Really?
You know.
Well, just on your one.
Why would I lie about that?
Exactly. I'm going to give you a couple of extra points there, just for populism.
You're essentially saying that Jesus is the great military leader, then, because Aslan is Jesus
in the
thinly veiled Christian wardrobe allegory.
There's loads of. My cousin Stuart's a very good military leader. We used to play a game called King of the Mud Hill, and he never lost. And one of his moves was to smack you in the face with a dictionary.
What about Joan of Arc?
Yeah.
What about Joan of Arc?
She was a good military leader.
Hot.
Very hot. She was hot. She was 19, wasn't she, when she was burnt at the stake? What I found interesting was that, was it 6 months later?
It was the next day.
The next day?
Yeah, 24 hours later.
The Pope said, what's the word, I'm going to quashed it and said, innocent.
Yeah, a bit late.
Can I come out of my little box then? That's great.
Yeah, she got her own drama on ITV.
And she got her own song by Orchestral Manoeuvres in the Dark.
She did indeed.
Yeah, so what's she whinging about?
The whole time
my eyebrows are on fire. You got your own show on.
Can I go for Lord Cardigan, who was the leader in charge of the Light Brigade? And they named a cardigan after him. The Duke of Wellington won the Battle of Waterloo. He got a Wellington. The bloke got a cardigan for losing. That's how little respect they've got for Wellington.
I feel sorry for King Arthur, because, you know, he was a pretty good military leader, but all anyone remembers him for is his furniture. Do you remember the first thing, show away, King Arthur, or he had a round table. Anything else?
No. I feel sorry for Captain Mannerin.
Oh, yeah?
Because he was a great military leader, but he didn't achieve much. Apart from a lot of bumbling escapades. But at the end of the day, the way I look at it is, if Julius Caesar, he wouldn't have been able to expand Rome if he'd have had Clive Dunn falling in a ditch every 5 minutes.
Everyone goes on about Alexander the Great being
Though, do they?
He never lost Alexander the Great, though. He never lost in battle.
Didn't he?
He cut the Gordian knot. I don't think that's really fulfilling the prophecy, saying whoever unties the Gordian knot will be rule Asia. I'll cut it in half with the sword. It's not good enough, that, is it? I don't think that's...
It's not that great.
You wouldn't get the badge in Cubs, is what I'm saying. I think they should take the great off him. Alexander the Cheat.
It's not actually that many letters different, actually. It'd be easy to change all the signs, wouldn't it? Well, we'll call time on this topic then. I'm going to have to ask you for your final top threes before we find out what's in Julia's envelope. Richard Herring, your top three military leaders, please.
I'll go for Wellington, Cardigan. There's no one to complete the set.
Is this your Christmas list?
It is. Charles the Bald.
Lee Mack.
I think I might be able to complete your set here, because okay. I'm going to go for Winston Churchill, Joan of Arc and Captain Mannerin, but it's a man wearing boots. That's a terrible joke, but for cleverness, I want a point.
OK, you can have a point, just for asking.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's all right.
Can I have a point?
Yes. Go on, try it.
Can I have a jet ski?
Can we all have a point?
No. Russell Howard, your top three military leaders, please.
Aragorn. He had a lot to deal with. A squabbling dwarf and an elf, that's tricky. Joan of Arc and my cousin Stuart.
Right, okay. Well, we've had a few points there. Not many, but a few. You can all score some bonus points if any of your answers are in Julia Morris's envelope. So, Julia Morris, please let us know, what are your top three military leaders, please?
Well, my number one, of course, was Tony Blair. And my second was Fidel Castro, because he's had over 600 attempts by the CIA to assassinate him.
I think you mean 600 plots. That's surely what it was.
And my all-time favourite, only because of the way you get to say his name, is Mao Zedong.
The only one thing missing from that impression was sellotape on your eye.
Well, without even consulting the scoreboard, I can tell that nobody has matched with any of your choices there, Julia. That means you get no points and nobody gets any more extra points. Which means at the end of round one, in joint last place, we have Julia Morris, Richard Herring. Second is Lee Mack. But in the lead, it's Russell Howard. OK, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. Julia Morris, you're up first. So, either or. Innie or outie?
Innie, because you can store stuff in it. Outies are very pleasant, but what if you slid along your stomach and it accidentally, like, sort of came off? So definitely innie.
That's a nice image. I'll give you a point for that, Julia. Lee Mack.
Thank you.
Starsky or Hutch?
Hutch.
Why?
Because Starsky only lasted 3 days and then he died, not to flush him down the toilet.
I'm tempted to take points off, obviously, but I'll give you two. Richard Herring, Pride or Prejudice?
They so often come together, that's the problem, isn't it? It's very... You don't often get somebody's prejudice, go, I'm a bit ashamed of that. It's very difficult to be proud without being prejudiced as well. So is it better to be proud and accepting of all, or prejudiced but slightly ashamed?
That, it very much is the question.
I think it's better to be proud, because prejudice is a terrible thing, as I think we've already shown several times in this show.
I'll give you 2 points. And finally, Russell Howard. Penny farthing or penny shilling?
It totally depends on the situation you're in, really, you know. You're a Victorian criminal and you need a getaway vehicle. You're plump for the farthing, you know. If you just nicked a tin bath, you need to get away quick. But if somebody turned up with an infected wound and you handed them a bike with one wheel that was tiny and one that was massive, you look like a right Burke. So I'd probably plump for the penicillin and maybe get a skateboard. Just to get around on.
I can see that. I'll give you 3 points for that. That's very eloquent. So we'll add those points onto our scoreboard and move straight on to our second top three. Russell Howard, you're sitting this one out, so please sit back as we hammer out the top three old wives' tales. Can you start us off, please, Lee Mack?
Well, I don't know if anyone knows this one, but apparently if you drop a pair of scissors, it means your partner's being unfaithful.
Really?
And this worries me because I bought a brand new pair of scissors recently and they're over 20 quid, right? And
you got done.
I find I can't fully concentrate when I'm making love to my wife's sister. Because I'm thinking, you know, those scissors, if they're dropping now, that's 20 quid down the pan, isn't it?
Julia Morris, do you have different old wives' tales in Australia?
Oh, we have so many fabulous wives' tales. One of the most popular ones is that you can't go swimming for hours after you've eaten, which is actually a lazy parent's way of saying, I can't be bothered watching you in the pool for the next hour. But my favourite, because I've got a bun in my oven, my favourite one is that pregnant women... Do you know that if they don't eat what they crave the moment they crave it, then it's said that the baby will come out looking like that food. I have been necking the apple crumble and the rhubarb crumble for months. I just don't want the whole crumble face. That'd be a nightmare, and the rhubarb sticking out. And I just think, oh, I wouldn't be able to bond with
it. Think of all the money. Think of all the money you could make with a baby that looked like a lion bar or something.
Yeah.
The amazing lion bar.
I can't believe no one's
thought
of it before.
Or if you had twins, it could be a Twix.
What did your mum used to tell you, Richard?
My mum didn't tell me this one, but this is that onanism caused blindness.
It is actually true. It's to do with the zinc.
Space dust mixed with fizzy drinks causes your stomach to explode. Going out with wet hair gives you pneumonia, which is incorrect because pneumonia is caused by a bacteria which cannot detect wet hair.
Have you heard that sniffing a dandelion can make you wet the bed?
Yeah, I did read that.
But that apparently is true, and I don't know if you know this, that sniffing a daffodil means that you wake up with a Welshman.
Really? Is that what happened to me?
I think what you do is if you ever sniff a daffodil, right, always follow it by sniffing a dandelion, then you can really cheese off a Welshman.
Yeah. There's a fabulous wives' tale about eating apples increases the size of your gentleman's items.
If you stop there, I'll give you a point for being delicate.
What about biscuits give you venereal disease? Oh. That, honestly, that is what my nan used to say, but I can't help thinking she was just a bit mean with the biscuits.
Oh, no.
Can I have a biscuit, Dad? Let me tell you a story.
What about your itchy palm, which gives you money? It means money's coming in your way. And I try and scratch them to bring the histamines to the top of the skin just in case it keeps working, but it doesn't.
What about never look a giraffe in the face? Otherwise, your neck grows dead long.
What about chucking your salt over the shoulder? What does that mean? How does that work?
It means you're blind salt and you don't know where your chips are. Something about the devil, isn't it?
Well, that's what I want to know. Yeah,
the devil hides in the corner of the room or something, isn't it? And so you have to throw salt in his face.
Mm. Why is he hiding?
What? He's gradually going
blind.
Somebody in the corner
is throwing
of the room.
Salt all over the place.
He's the devil.
Yeah, but he's still got stinky eyes. No matter how evil you are, if someone throws salt in your eyes, you go, God, leave it out. Everyone thinks this is true, and it isn't, because I read it in the Encyclopedia Britannica, is that if you shave, your hair is thicker when it grows back.
No,
it's an absolute urban myth. Wives' tales
right.
keeping with the question.
It's because what you do is you take off the tapered edge of the hair, and therefore it has the appearance of being thicker.
Because it's thicker, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Julia. I've got the gold on board tonight.
You can have
I've
a point.
Gold.
You can have a point, an information point. I think,
thank you.
That's very good.
Oh, you're so handsome.
Yeah, if you think you're going to get another point for that, you're absolutely right. But it won't work if you do right, Richard. That is the end of our old wives' tale round then. So give me your final top three, starting with Lee Mack, please. Your top three old wives' tales or urban myths.
If you drop scissors, you're having an affair with a giraffe. I can't remember exactly how it goes. Sniff a dandelion, you wake up covered in your own
Welshman.
So, and biscuits give you venereal disease. Okay. Can I just point out, just so we don't get sued, it is only the Bourbons.
Thank you very much. Julia Morris, your top three, please.
Oh, swimming after you've eaten gives you cramps.
Yep.
Eating apples increases the size of your gentleman's items. And you must eat what you crave when you're pregnant, otherwise your baby comes out looking like crumble.
That's beautiful. Richard Herring, your top three, please.
Mine are chewing gum stays in your stomach for 7 years. You swallow it.
That's a good one. Yeah, I remember that.
Your shoes squeak until you've paid for them. And winking gives you a zinc deficiency.
Okay. Right, well, let's see if any of you are going to get any more additional points. Russell, please tell us what are your top three old wives' tales, please.
First one is if you rub a wart with a stone by a crossroads, the wart will disappear. Second one, Diet Cola kills your sperm. That isn't really an old wives' tale, but there was a bloke who used to work at our shop called Billy. He used to tell us that, and we were only eight. It's pretty freaky. And if you use a mobile phone at a service station, the service station will explode.
Yeah, because old wives have been saying that since the 30s, haven't they?
They certainly have.
Right, no extra points scored there, which means after round two, we have in last place Julia Morris, in joint second Lee Mack and Richard Herring, but in the lead, Russell Howard. OK, time for another quickfire round. This time it's simply the best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite deadly sin, please. As the audience arrived today, we asked them what their favourite deadly sin was. Our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. So, we'll start at the end. Julia Morris, your favourite deadly sin, please.
As if my favourite deadly sin wouldn't be lust. Years and years it's been going on with me, and I'm still not dead. So I have a feeling it's not as deadly as everyone thinks it is.
Russell Howard, yours, please.
Gluttony.
Okay, Lee Mack, your favourite deadly sin?
I'm a bit embarrassed here because I think I've not fully understood the question. I've gone for grumpy. Is that wrong? At least it's sort of a bit of a bad virtue, and I was going to say Doc. I mean, how would I crowbar that in?
And finally, Richard Herring.
Well, lust and gluttony are my favourite two. It's very difficult to pick one of those two, so I've gone for Glustony.
That's actually a festival you can go to.
It is.
Thank you very much. We'll have a look at the audience survey. A few people put down special ones under the category Other. Deadly sins, including Gwyneth Paltrow, Brad Pitt and hummus. It's very imaginative. But we have the actual figures here. And in third place, with 18%, Sloth. I can't believe you had the energy to actually cheer there. In second place, with 25% of the vote, Lust.
Oh.
But the top answer from the audience, with 31% of the vote, is Gluttony.
Yes.
So that's 5 points then to Russell Howard, matching up with Gluttony. Nothing, I think, for Richard, because Gluttony was very much hedging the bets. I'm sorry about that, Richard. We'll push on with our next top three. And this time it's your top three things you wanted to be when you grew up. Richard Herring, you're sitting this one out. Okay. So what do you think? Julia Morris, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Older.
Really?
Yeah.
Totally, because I was only allowed to go to the 6 o'clock roller skating session, and I absolutely wanted to go to the 8:30 session because that's where all the handsome boys were and you could kiss them on the lips. But at 6 o'clock, all the kids were there, so I just wanted to be a little bit older so that I could go to 8:30 roller skating.
You know, I'll give you a point for poignancy, I think, there.
Thanks.
We're all with you there at the 6 o'clock session. Lee?
To be clean. Do you remember when kids were dirty in the 70s? Everyone was filthy, weren't they?
You were allowed to be.
If you look back at old footage, right, of kids, no one bothered about all this showering malarkey and washing, did they?
It's quite really?
New, but it's quite in Britain, people didn't shower till like post 1986. I had baths once a week in the 1970s, and it was completely acceptable. And I say acceptable. I used to watch TV and go, I want to be clean like the other. I remember wanting to be. I watched Carry On at Your Convenience, and it was my favourite film. So I wanted to work in a toilet factory. I did, because I used to think you'd get up to cheeky capers with Bernard Breslau if you did that.
That's a good ambition.
Yes.
People used to want to be train drivers in the olden days when they grew up. Yeah. Not anymore, though, really.
Well, they want to be famous,
no.
though, don't they?
No.
Everyone
yeah.
wants to be famous.
Well, you want to keep all your lungs till at least you finishing your life. But now they're in that yucky old underground. It can't be right for them, can it?
What, being a train driver?
Yeah.
That's not a train driver, that's a tube driver.
Ah, oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, it's better I correct her than the people in the street start hitting her.
Yeah. Again.
It's better she knows now.
Russell?
Well, all I wanted to be when I was little, and still do really, is a Jedi. You know, like, and there are still moments when, you know, when you just wake up on like a Sunday morning, you're a bit kind of tired and your phone's just out of reach. You still try and just see if you could just pull it closer like you did, and it never happens, but I'd kill my mum for a lightsaber. But when you think back to your childhood, the ambitions, I remember that when I was about 8, really wanting a broken arm, because my brother got a broken arm and just got all the chicks just kind of coming up to him and like, yeah, do you mind if I sign that? Yeah, go and help yourself, you know? I'll just try and break me arm.
I wanted to be rich because we had some neighbours who were rich and they had a dishwasher, and I just thought that that meant you totally made it. And now I do have a dishwasher, but I can't pay the mortgage, so...
It was a kid in our school, it was a bit simple. And he said,
when I'm older, I want to be a dinosaur. And
we all, you know, when you're not allowed to laugh, but all you can think of, when we're like 8, just going... And the teacher went, you'll never be that, Dave. And it was so amazing, because he looked back there and just went, how do you know?
I'll give you a point for your friend. I like him.
Nice. You always want to be a rock star. I remember my brother, when he was about 9, cut an entire album. Just went into his bedroom, came downstairs, and we were all kind of watching telly and just performed the entire album. It was pretty bad, but, you know, he had one song that went, rock! Rock!
You're my favourite thing.
We were just kind of sat around, what are you doing? He had one song that was bordering. It was pretty weird because... It was a rap kind of going, if you're a businessman, you've got work to do. You can't stop and hang around with the kids. And it was a song about my dad. But it was like he was excusing him in rap form, age 9. I understand you've got to be away for work. It's fine, because I'm going to carve out my own niche, Dad, to be like you one day.
Okay, no more time. Let's find out what your final top threes are. Russell Howard, your top three things you wanted to be when you grew up.
Dinner lady. confusing time. Jedi, and
to have a broken arm.
That's very good. OK, Julia Morris, your top three.
I want to be rich, famous and older.
Lee Mack, your top three, please.
I wanted to be Bernard Breslau, working in a toilet factory. I wanted to be clean. And I just wanted to meet my parents. Go on, give us a point.
Sympathy points. OK, let's see if there are any more points up for grabs. Richard Herring, tell us what your top three things you want to do when
my
you grew up.
My top three things that are from this round are... One, a princess.
So you've let yourself go, haven't you?
I'm so good at it.
Two, a panellist on a Radio 4 quiz show.
Nice.
And invisible at will.
So no matches there. At the end of that round, the scoreboard looks like this. In fourth place, Richard Herring. In third place, Julia Morris. Second is Lee Mack. But in the lead, it's Russell Howard. OK, time for our final quickfire round called Who Would Win? A series of hypothetical bouts of anything from cross-country running to cross-channel swimming. Again, it's points for reasons, not answers. So, Lee Mack.
Yes.
Who would win a limbo competition? Neil Kinnock or Peter Crouch?
Neil Kinnock, because he's a Christian. So he wouldn't even be in limbo in the first place.
Oh, that's very, very profound.
It's clever, eh?
Yeah, 2 points for that. Richard Herring, who would win a karaoke competition? Oprah Winfrey or Brian Singer?
So Oprah Winfrey's a chat show hostess.
Yes.
And her name is Oprah, which is a kind of singing. And Brian Singer, I think people won't know, is the director of The Usual Suspects. I mean, it's...
And the X-Men movies.
Well, and the X-Men movie. And his surname is Singer, which is also a kind of thing you do when you sing. Which is why you're asking about the... I just thought I should explain the joke first before I moved on to my answers of karaoke connection. But opera singers aren't very good at karaoke because they're trained in a different way. So I've met two opera singers this week, and both of them have told me this fact. So assuming that because Brian Singer's name is Singer... I would say he would be better a singer.
Can I make a confession here? Genuinely, I've now, without a minute, only just got the Neil Kinnock and Peter Crouch joke. Genuinely, I didn't get that.
I'll give you 1 point for that, Richard.
Okay.
Julia Morris, who would win at the 200-metre freestyle, Jaws or Flipper?
It's got to be Flipper, because it's faster than lightning, and no one that you see is faster than he. It says it in the song.
I can't argue with that. That's 1 point to you. OK, Russell, here's your question. Who would win on the pools, Mark Spitz or Sharon Davies?
Sharon Davies, because Spitz doesn't gamble anymore. Not since he lost his dog, Shirley, in a fair game of chance.
A point for that, Russell, and we'll add those points to our scores and go straight into our final top three. OK, Lee Mack, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you are after your top three smells. Russell Howard, please do start us off.
I like the smell of ladies. Like, you know when someone's like a perfume and that lady... Oh, my God. I once played a girl at squash and lost 9-0 because every time she hit the ball, she just kind of glided past me, like... and then just fall on the floor. I lost another point. Sorry about that.
I'll give you a point back for the point you lost.
Thanks.
At that game of squash.
Nice.
Richard Herring?
I like the smell of my own smells.
No, he really
I don't
does.
Think I'm unusual in that.
No, you are slightly unusual in that you give them names. There goes Winifred.
I realise kind of weird, disgusting smells. Like, some people have got smelly belly buttons. I haven't got one of these. I wish I did, but if you scratch and someone's smelly in the belly button sometimes, try it with everyone you meet, every now and again, and smell your finger. It's kind of like the smell of death or something. It's like something's died. And similarly, I had a sebaceous cyst once, and if you squeeze that just really stinks.
So these are your favourite smells?
Yeah, I like them. It's just like...
This is like the worst chat line I've ever run.
I feel very...
I usually speak to Glenda.
You see, I thought it was going to be freshly cut grass, the smell of a newborn baby's head. That kind of stuff.
I think, like, the person you love, maybe that's what, like, Prince Charming, I've got to go and stick my finger in everyone's belly button till I find the one I really like the smell of.
Yes.
And that will be the woman I should marry.
Julie Morris.
I'm very fond of the smell of jet fuel, because that means I'm going somewhere. It could mean that the plane is leaking as well, which wouldn't be good, but... And I love the smell of new cash. When it's still clicky. Because not too many hands have been all over it and it hasn't been sort of in cash registers and so forth.
Have you not seen Julia's dirty CCTV footage? Oh, 20, yeah.
Yeah. 50 for the ladies.
I tell you what, I do quite like the idea of being in New York early in the morning and buying freshly baked bread and coffee.
And a hot lady.
And a hot lady, yeah. Maybe Joan of Arc, just by my side.
And frying bacon, talking of Joan of Arc, she must have smelled quite nice. Yes, we're meant to taste the same as pigs, so there must be a point where people go, when you're being burnt, going, ooh. But yeah, is that making you slightly hungry?
I had an invention that I never actually invented because I wouldn't know how to do it, but I had an idea for an invention, which would be for vegetarians and for people of a religious persuasion that can't eat bacon, is to get it in an essence and you could have spraken.
That's good. Now, you too have a song which includes the lyric, freedom has a smell like the top of a newborn baby's head.
Oh, that is nice, yeah. It's always a bit awkward, you know, when you just... Oh,
it's all right if it's your own baby, but...
Yeah, well, exactly, that's the snare. You can't do that in Asda.
My favourite smell, surprisingly, in that I don't smoke, is cigarette smoke, because it stopped me being car sick when I was on a coach trip when I was 11, going down from Northampton to Weymouth, because I sat behind one of the teachers who was smoking, and I miraculously felt better. Well, that's your lot, I'm afraid. So for the last time, can I have your top threes, please? Russell Howard, your top three smells?
Melted chocolate, bonfires, and freshly washed clothes.
OK, Julia Morris, what have you got?
Jet fuel, new cash, and cigarette smoke that stops the people I love from getting car sick.
I've used all my points up. Richard Herring, your top three?
My own smells. The belly button of my future wife. And a bonfire with a pig on it.
Brilliant. OK, the scores are very close, so Lee Mack, anything could happen. What is in your envelope? Tell us your top three smells.
First one, napalm. May I point out, though, not in the morning. I'm not an early riser. Coffee.
And your third?
Blue.
You're obviously a big fan of Blue Peter, Lee.
So there are my three answers, Andrew. It's back to you in the studio.
Now we have the results. We've had no matches for the entire programme, so well done, all of you. History has been made.
I like it.
But I'm afraid that means at the end of today's show, our top three losers are Richard Herring, Lee Mack and Julia Morris, and our winner is Russell Howard. So that's all from us for today's show. A big thank you to all my guests. And remember, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears, it'll be those illegal Brazilian loggers again. Goodbye. Banter was presented by me, Andrew Collins, and featured Richard Herring, Russell Howard, Lee Mack and Julia Morris. The show was devised by Tim Barber, and the producer was Richard Grocock. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.